Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed.
But I'm going to be in the hood giving out circles like Lino Brown, baby. Like Lino Brown, trying to restore my community.
The guys who give you Flex ATX and the right call. Snoop, Zay. The Snoop and Zay Morning Remix. Remix. On the Horn.
What y'all know about that young star? Taking it back to H-Town. Shout out to Rob Babers. The Snoop and Zay Morning, the Horn Morning Remix. I'm Zay Collier. Snoop Daniels rocking with me. Catch us at Twitter, Snoop at Snoop Daniel or at Flex ATX. Catch me on Twitter, ain't that underscore Zay. Rocking with us on 1049, 1019, AM 1260. Specs text line 512-337-3776. This is the Sweet Potato Pie Edition. You're going to get the pumpkin pie edition later in the afternoon. Those guys going to have you covered for RBKD. Appreciate everybody. If you were tuning in to B&E, them guys got the day off. And me and Snoop are rolling. We're rolling.
Well deserved. Them guys get up hella early.
Oh, every yeah. Day. Bucks hey. Here at like 3:30.
Oops. Well, yeah. No, for real, he is. The few times that I filled in the morning, I would get up here maybe at 5, and he would already been here like 30 minutes. I'm like, wow.
That's the grind, man. That's the grind. But
I wonder if they actually sleep or if they just automatically woke up and can't sleep, because that's usually what happens when you
get on a certain cycle that you don't even need an alarm clock.
I hope they
sometimes.
Are unconscious right now.
Yeah, hopefully. Sleeping, knowing Buck, you know. That's not happening. But yeah. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Our next guest ain't really a guest. He is family. You can catch his show every Sunday from 9 to 12 for all your fantasy talk. The Wagner Wire. Catch him on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. My guy, Adam Wagner. What's poppin', Wags?
Dude, you are one. I thought I was on the Russ Parr morning show back then. For a second. Like, what is.
Yo, who is that? Is
Russ Parr.
Fresh air, man. My goodness. One, this is like, it's an epiphany, right? Like, you guys on the horn for the first time in the morning together, right? But this might just be a one and done, boys, because you're bringing on the demon of the weekday right now, baby.
Yo, we had to bring you on, man. There's too much NFL talk going on. A lot of people are getting to the nitty-gritty of the end of their fantasy season. People, you know, are we going to get into the playoffs? Are we on the bubble? Certain people are comfortable. You know, you got about 30 leagues. Where are you at with your – yeah, I know you. I know you. You're like a guy who has a problem. You have a problem. You just do league on league on league.
Usually I got money on the sun coming up and everything, right? But I started itching a little bit on the back of my neck and on the bottom of my toes and everything. So I had to take it down just a little bit, man. So I got about 22 leagues is the actual leagues.
Good grief.
The number of leagues that I have this year, man. But we did. We had to reduce a little bit, shrink the size, shrink the payload so that we could actually get more profitable.
Hey Wags, one thing, because I'm not really playing fantasy anymore because –
Snoop has a problem.
Because I have a problem. But, I mean, I was so hardcore. And my favorite format is baseball. And I would get into 15-team AL and NL only leagues.
Oh, yeah.
Roto.
Absolutely, man. It gets crazy, dude.
Roto style. So, like, I'm trying to keep my whip under 1.1, you know, so I would. So anyway, big fantasy
fan. Well, the
thing
that I would always do with that, man, I would always be, you know, always welcoming the premium stat to like save. So I would only get like 2 starters and then load up on all my closers. That's hard to help with them.
Yo, everybody, if you have questions for Wags, fantasy questions, hit up the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Wags, this is a big week in fantasy football
for sure.
In general. Like I said before, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. What should people be doing with their fantasy rosters right now if you're kind of on the outside looking in, whether that's a 12-man league or a 10-man league or, you know, what the keeper leagues, what situations would a fantasy player want to do, or what would you recommend you do at this point?
Right. At the turn, basically, we call this the turns day. We're heading into like phase three and phase four of the season. And now it's honestly about being realistic and true to yourself. Like if you're on the bubble and you have a legitimate chance of getting into the playoffs, one move just to kind of like solidify yourself and maybe give you a little bit more of a presence in the playoffs isn't really going to do it, man. You have to have a kind of a knee-jerk reaction to solidify yourself and get to the top. You got to make a bold move. And sometimes that's, you know, trading a bell cow running back, maybe like Jonathan Taylor, which I don't advise that, but I'm saying if this is a keeper league and you basically don't have a shot, maybe you want to give away some of your ammo to kind of supplement something on the back end next year. There's a lot of scenarios. If you're going with a traditional regular redraft league, then I think you're trying to acquire some big playoff assets to try and get as much optimal firepower as you can heading into the weeks 13, 14, and 15. Now, of course, keep this in mind too. Some leagues will be stretching into 15, 16, and 17 because of the additional week of the NFL, which I don't technically like that. I'd like to see 14, 15, and 16 continue into the fantasy playoffs and championships for usual format leagues.
Why is that, Wags? Why would you rather see that traditional format that we've seen, but we all know with the added game this year, that's kind of changed the way we play fantasy?
Honestly, because I just don't have range on it yet. This is the first year that we're seeing Week 17 come into development for the NFL, and I don't know if teams are going to be taking, putting some breaks on. Of course, you're going to have the natural teams that are still struggling to get into the playoffs. Those teams are the ones that you want to target to have some fantasy players on because they'll eventually have skin in the game and, trying to play to get in for survivability. If you got like a – see, here's where I err on caution, right? If you have like a you got like a Matt Stafford or a Tom Brady or a quarterback that's on a team that's got a legitimate shot at pretty much taking the division and taking the conference, like Aaron Rodgers, too. Aaron Rodgers is an MVP stud, but is he going to be throwing the ball in Week 17 or Week 16 in the championship? You got to take that in consideration and account for it now and try and get ahead of the game.
That's right, man. That's right. You always forget about those players that maybe get benched at the end of the season to preserve that energy and durability once you go into playoffs. That's a good point, Wags.
And that's why the draft is so critical, too. Like, you should really be hitting on all your pieces in the draft. Don't wait on the free agency wire or the Wagner wire, as I like to call it. But the free agency should be popping off, and you'll have some pieces that you can fix, but the draft is so crucial because you've got to get these the supplement players that I call them, the week 14, 15, and 16 players that are going to be sitting your bench and ride your bench basically the entire time. And a lot of people feel a little bit, like they have to, almost like they have to trade some of their bench players in order to, solidify themselves for a better position during the regular season. I be reluctant with that and, kind of hold the brakes and keep your team together. Solidified, you drafted them for a reason. You know that you want to have depth going into the latter rounds of the NFL, especially for weeks 14 and 15 and 16, and that's where this is going to take part. You're going to see running backs like Dalvin Cook start to get a lot more rest going through, and then Alexander Mattison, they'll be getting some more totes. Tony Pollard as well. Zeke will be starting to get rest as Dallas starts to emerge as the number one talent, basically, not just in the division, but if they start to arise and contend to take on the NFC and be the leading team in the NFC, then there's a chance that, Zeke could be rested, getting those legs ready for the playoffs, and Tony Pollard could be sitting there. So don't have a knee-jerk reaction in trading all your bench players when you've, done really good work in the draft to, try and account for these guys and have them in the later season.
Yeah.
That's a lot to dissect, but...
No, yeah, you're talking game, man. You're talking game. And that's one thing that's going to be interesting about this season, because so many teams are so close with their records.
Right.
I don't think you're going to be able to rest anybody at the end, especially with the division matchups that they have at the end of the season, which is great by the NFL and the scheduling. Everybody's record is so damn close. There's no separation. It's a risk, playing guys that are meaningful to your team that you want healthy going into the postseason.
Yeah, and really, those were the only three real quarterbacks that was basically popping off the page to me, or just jumping off the page to me from jump, right? Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady. Those are the three teams that look like they have somewhat control of their divisions and their control of their, I guess, their path to the playoffs. But to the rest of the NFL, you spoke perfectly, man. There is so much parity. It's so crazy. It's so wild because we're so used to seeing these stalwarts of teams start to take control already by week eight and solidify themselves. But now we're not. There's still, like, flip a coin. I mean, and if you listen to the Wagner Wire, you knew that we recalled this because Walsh, you know how Walsh Tuesday, like, Walsh comes on every week, the obligatory go-to, and he called it. He's like, Houston will take Houston in the money line. They will upset Tennessee this week. What happened? It came to fruition.
Yeah, that was one of the most ridiculous upsets of last week. But let's get into the Thanksgiving slate. Snoop said he's going to watch this game, the Chicago-Detroit. I don't think I could watch this game. I'm going to, that's one of those games where you don't mind running to the stove when grandma says, yo, we forgot the nutmeg, or we need to get the sugar or some lemons or something. You don't mind going to the store for that game. You know what I'm saying? But
no, yeah, no, for sure. Especially like David Lowe is supposed to get the start for Detroit, right?
And one of the
traditional football teams that play every football season on Thanksgiving, and they usually lose every football season on Thanksgiving. However, I think Jeff Goff, I heard Dan Campbell speak a little bit earlier and last night, Jared Goff might be actually ready to be rolled out this week instead of David Blow. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. But really, man, the guy is Swift. For Detroit, it's all about Swift. Like, this guy, he does so much stuff on the ground, carving it up, and he can get busy in the air as well. He's a great safety release valve for any quarterback, if it's Blow or Goff. Blau or Goff. I keep saying Blow. If it's David Blau or Goff, Swift is still the guy. Some receivers in there. Mooney has been emerging a little bit as the top wide receiver for Chicago, even though there really isn't one yet. It should be Allen Robinson there, but A-Rob just hasn't been able to get a good rapport with any quarterback, whether it be Justin Fields or Andy Dalton. Looks like Mooney is the one that's emerging, but yeah, you're right. This is the sleeper of the Thanksgiving slate, the 11:30 game.
All right, Wags, we got a question from the Specs text line. Newton, Cousins, or Burrow?
Give me Cam Newton. Cam Newton has a tremendous, tremendous matchup this week, man. Let me pull it up here
Can he throw over 20 yards, Wags?
Yes, he can do it, man. We called, you've seen Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah, my man with the arm, he breaks it. Henry.
Roland Gardner, that's what you got to picture Cam Newton as. That's a joke. Now, look, clearly Cam Newton doesn't have the arm that he used to have, right? But he's still got that MVP playing mentality, right? Still able to make plays. He did great coming in last week going up against, I thought he played the Fish, or I think they go up against the Fish this week. But he had a great week last week going up, I think, 27 points. Doing really good work there. And so he's got a good matchup this week going up against the Fish, 27th in the league at allowing points to quarterbacks. That's what you like. And then Cam Newton, man, from a glance, dude, I think this dude's got it. I mean, what? He had 26 points last week and then 11 fantasy points the week before. So he's just starting to warm up, and it looks like he's getting into a good groove there with Joe Brady and Matt Rhule.
All right, Wags, let's go to the Cowboys-Raiders game. No CeeDee Lamb, he might not play. We know Amari Cooper isn't playing. Who are the players to look for if you have those guys on your team? Or even with the Raiders, who are the guys to look for in this matchup?
Well, it's got to be Gallup, right? Like, you'd think that Gallup and Wilson would be able to solidify themselves. Maybe a little Dalton Schultz gets busy there from the tight end spot. And, of course, you got to think that Tony Pollard's going to be taking some reps coming out of the backfield too, solidifying a good offensive attack coming out of the backfield there for the air attack. Of course, Zeke's going to get busy there, but Zeke's just too expensive, man, for me. I like Tony Pollard at 5,900.
All right, Wags, Specs text line question. Scoring league, regular scoring league, should I start Elijah Moore or Mike Williams?
Ooh, Mike Williams. Wait, he said standard?
Regular scoring league.
Regular scoring, no if it's PPR, I'd say Mike Williams, but if we don't have a verification on that, if it's just standard league, no PPR, Elijah Williams, you didn't say Elijah Williams. The dude from San Francisco, right? That's who you said? You said Mike
Elijah
Williams
Moore.
And
Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore. Okay. So we're talking about the rookie wide receiver for the Jets. He's got a really good matchup this week, but I still like Mike Williams, man. Mike Williams is coming on hot. He's a bigger target, and he's also wide receiver number two instead of wide receiver number three. Excuse me, I thought you said the running back for San Francisco at first.
Yeah, Mike Williams, his whole thing has been just being durable, being on the field.
If he's
If he's healthy, then he's borderline elite, especially when Justin Herbert is slinging that thing. All right, yeah, Wags. Well,
and so many people rotate their defense over to Keenan Allen, who's one of the best route runners in the league. So, of course, Mike Williams is going to get open, man. He's nasty.
All right, Wags. Another question here. And he needs a flex, Montgomery, Jared Jeudy, Ayuk, or A. Gibson, PPR league.
PPR league, I like Ayuk right now. Brandon Ayuk's coming on very strong so far. He's got a really good matchup this week for San Francisco. The thing about Ayuk is that he was deemed as one of the better wide receivers going into this league, right? But then he got slept on, and now Deebo Samuels is starting to take a lot of the reps and getting a lot of attention. It's just like we kind of said with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, a lot of the attention of the defense is rolling over to Deebo Samuels because he's not only just in the, you know, as a wide receiver, but he's also featured in the backfield too, which is leaving Brandon Ayuk wide open. So you're starting to see a little bit more of emergence in the last 3 weeks with Brandon Ayuk. I like Brandon Ayuk today, or this week rather.
Alrighty, and the last game, Thursday night, Buffalo Bills versus the New Orleans Saints. What you got for that one, homie?
The last one, Thursday night. All right, look, so this is going to be wild, all right? I know Josh Allen has kind of issued a little bit of caution with the reluctancy. Look, the Bills were in basically playoff mode already. They looked really hot in midseason form, and now it's starting to trickle out, and you're starting to see Josh Allen's connections really not connect. Like, you saw a really good rapport with Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel hasn't been able to get in space. I don't know if he's just not able to see Krista Allen or not, but, I mean, still, Zach Moss ain't getting busy, and neither is Devin Singletary as well. I like a big stack here with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, regardless of that. I think they got a really good matchup there. New Orleans, 19th. In the league at allowing points to quarterbacks. I think that bodes well for Josh Allen, and look for him to get back on the right track today or this week.
Already, Wags. Now, are you a stuffing or dressing guy?
Okay, I'm going to get slaughtered here. You guys are going to drag me. I don't like Thanksgiving food, bro.
Oh, my goodness, man.
You know this, dude. It's too dry. The bird is too dry, but I don't know how to do it right. I do it white.
Are you?
It's too dry.
Your bird's as dry as KD's ankle, bro.
Hey, come on, man. He was trying to hide that, dude.
He wasn't trying to hide it. He needs longer tights or a longer sock. That is uncalled for. Vaseline.
He needs more jerkins is what he needs.
Yeah, I hope he gets a lotion deal, you know, for everybody's sake. He deserves that.
Jergens.
He's good enough. Yeah, Jergens. He's good enough for all that, but wow, Wags, you don't like Thanksgiving food. So what do you do tomorrow? Do you just sit in a corner?
No, I'll sit there. So usually I prep the bird and everything, and I'll sit there and I'll pick as I'm going along. Now, I'm a sides guy. I do like my sides. So I like some cream corn, especially if it's from Rudy's. I'll mess up some cream corn there. Green bean casserole? Yeah, I guess. You know what I mean? But, dude, I'm telling you, man. So I like 4th of July. I even said this on the show. Like, for me, like, and you can ask anybody that knows, you know me, man, I probably eat chicken every day. Like, I have some yard bird every day, right? Chicken just tastes more flavorful. It's not dry. It's done right. It's barbecued. And then back home, man, for the 4th of July celebrations, you'd be getting barbecued chicken, hamburgers, and hot dogs with some fries and stuff. And endless watermelon, cantaloupe, and honeydew. Maryland's fruit produce is out of this world. You know, Texas is no slouch either, but to me, it's just a better holiday. It's better food. Thanksgiving, the family comes in, and it's great to see the family, but it's all loud and everything. And then, like you said, you got to go through chores and everything. You got to run to HEB for the last minute preparations.
Oh, yeah.
And the provisions. It's,
oh, yeah.
Dude, and then half the time, you're looking to get out of the house because it's so damn loud, and you got to go to your portable device to watch the TV or to watch the football game, man, or at least that's how it is in my house. You guys are more than welcome to come over.
Man, appreciate the invite, Wags. That is Adam Wagner. You can catch his show, The Wagner Wire, on the Horn every Sunday from 9 to 12. Catch him on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. He will be answering all fantasy questions. Just hit him up. Wags, very personal. Very, very nice guy.
Very, very, very approachable.
Yeah,
very
absolutely. Approachable. Absolutely. Wags, man, we're thankful for you coming on to Snoop and Zay Horn Remix. Appreciate you, my guy. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, great Thanksgiving to you guys, too, man. Thank you guys for having me on. And hopefully you guys get another show in the future, man, because you guys sound great on the air.
Man, that's love.
Thanks, Wags.
That's love, man. That was Adam Wagner. Used to hear him on, be former producer of B&E for a little bit. So Wags clearly knows what's good, but we'll be back. That's Adam Wagner's segment, a little football talk, probably getting into some hoops a little later. Texas basketball plays tonight, gets California Baptist, might, you know, tweak into that a little bit, but they should take care of business tonight. We got Zach Lucero coming in the building for the 9 o'clock hour. This is Snoop and Zay, the Horn Morning Remix, Thanksgiving Eve. We getting it popping. You know how we do. We'll be back. This is the Horn.
AMM collision, folks, if there is a collision, you know, if you've had a car accident or you know, even minor, it happens quick, right? You're not expecting it. Everything's going along normal, and then bang, you know, you've got a collision to deal with. At that moment, that's where you have to make the decision of where you're going to take that car and get it fixed. Well, that's where the easy decision comes every time. It's AMM collision for 30 years right here in Austin, Texas. They are the local guys and family-owned and independent and doing a great job. And here's what it is. They've just grown with Austin at AMM collision. One location 30 years ago, now 18 locations throughout the Hill Country and in your neighborhood. I promise you, there'll be one near you. So that's the first easy or convenience decision you're making. It's going to be close. And when you get to AMM Collision, they're going to have a rental car for you with their partnership with Enterprise. They're going to be handling your insurance company one-to-one. And here's the other thing with them. As they say, it's not as good as new at AMM. It's better than new. If there is a collision, make the easy decision. Find the location nearest you at AMMCollision.com.
Snoop and Zay Morning Remix on the Horn.
Welcome back. Snoop and Zay, the Horn Morning Remix. B&E got the night off, day off, whatever. Snoop and I getting it cracking. A lot of hip hop.
This is NLE Choppa, Polo G. I was trying to play the clean version. Even the clean version might be a little edgy.
Might be a little edgy.
This is my favorite song right now. I love it. I mean, you can't.
Is this mumble rap?
A little bit. You can understand what they're saying. Well, yeah, it's a little mumble rap.
It's still.
That is what has been. I'm telling you.
I'm eating some chicken and this finger licking. I'm doing that, man. I'm wanting to come.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to do that.
So, as a person who grew up as a hardcore lyricist, like I was more into Biggie than Tupac because I felt like his lyrics were better. And I love like Wu-Tang because I felt they had like complex, intelligent bars. Like I love Nas Escobar, like Illmatic. And, like I like East Coast hip hop, like lyrical stuff. And for me to all those years ago to today, I'm a fan of whatever, you know, quote unquote mumble rap. It's kind of crazy. I don't know if it's just I'm evolving with the times, but I would have never thought that would be the direction that music would go, and I would like it so much. So just.
I got mixed feelings. You know, there's some mumble rap that I can mess with. Like Young Dolph was on that
RIP.
He was on that edge of mumble rap, but also the lyrics were there. And yes, Young Dolph was probably a little too explicit for a lot of people, but if you're looking for some music to jam before the game
correct.
Get you hype, then Dolph was it.
Yeah. I'm not out to commit murder.
No, you
feel me? So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's definitely a disconnect and, you know, just jamming hype music and, like, wanting to reciprocate the lyrics.
Big so... difference. Because I've always been a hip-hop fan. I'm a huge music fan, but you know, hip hop and basketball are synonymous with one another. So it was very easy to be attracted to that sound by being a basketball player. But the first person to where I was like, yo, this guy is might be the greatest rapper I've ever heard was Wayne, Lil Wayne. And then once Auto-Tune came out, that's when things started to get a little fishy for me. Like, I respect T-Pain. I know he's made hits, but that T-Pain era where everybody was snapping and Dan Lean with it, rock with it, like that was cool and all, but that, I think that took hip-hop to a different point, and that's kind of what mumble rap is doing in itself. Like, it's just different. Like, you could listen to it, but not all the time. Like, I could jam Nas a lot, but Nas doesn't have those club bangers that some mumble rap guys do have. Yeah. So it's really just about the vibe that you're feeling at the moment. Like, and then you mentioned Biggie and Pac. One thing about those two, they had both. You know, that's why they're so, you know, popular.
Revered.
And so, yeah, because they had the club records, like Pac had the How Do You Want It, but then Pac would go ahead and do Brenda's Got a Baby the next turn. You'd be like, oh, wow, like, how could you go from that to this? So, yeah, that's one thing that I completely love about hip-hop, but I feel what you're saying on the mumble rap tip.
College Hoops tonight?
College Hoops tonight.
Are you going to that game or no?
Maybe. That's an iffy one.
Who
for
do
me.
They play again?
California Baptist.
Oh, my God. How do you even schedule that guy?
You got to schedule those, though. You need the confidence builders. You can't have nothing but top 25 teams, which that Gonzaga-UCLA game last night, that game was popping. It was late. It was Vegas time, and it was Dick Vitale's first game back. And I didn't really know after the Texas game, Snoop, I don't think Chris Beard revealed everything, which he shouldn't. Like, you shouldn't reveal everything, and you should be adding new plays as the season goes on, because that's when you figure out, as a head coach and the coaching staff in general, you start to figure out what meshes together, what clicks. And that's the biggest obstacle with this Longhorn basketball team is the chemistry, because you got 7 transfer players coming in with the 4 returning guys, and then Coach Beard's trying to figure out, you know, how many minutes does each guy get, or how many minutes is each guy comfortable with to where they could play 100% and not take plays off. And that rotation is the things that, you know, the coaching staff is trying to figure out at the end of the day. But with that Gonzaga game last night, I was sold. I wasn't sold versus Texas. Last night, I was sold against UCLA, because Mike Cronin, UCLA coach, which they don't run any offense, it kind of reminds me a lot of Shaka Smart's offense, to where we're going to get after it on defense, and I'll reward you on offense. Like, if you work on your game, just if you have that one-on-one handle, that type of wiggle, you know, Jamal Crawford type of style of play, then we're going to showcase that. So not much motion is going on with a Shaka-like offense or a Cronin-like offense, which I think Gonzaga ate that up last night, because, you know, their defense was solid. Like, check home run. Nobody wanted to go inside, and if you did go inside, it was going to get contested by his big 7-foot tall ass. And Drew Timmy, he's unstoppable. But Andrew Nimhard, their point guard, who was childhood friends with Marcus Carr out of that Ontario, Canada area, he might be, I said this in the 6 a.m. hour, he might be the most important player in college basketball, especially for his team. And he also might be the best point guard in college basketball, to where I know Jalen Suggs was a top 5 pick playing for the Orlando Magic right now, but he might be a better player for that team this year than Jalen Suggs was for his team last year. So, that Texas team, don't feel bad. UCLA got ran out off the court last night. Gonzaga could win the national championship easily. So that loss doesn't look bad at all.
Yeah, so I guess Craig is doing that game tonight.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, yeah. And then he'll do the football game Friday.
God, what a grind.
And then anything, he'll be on Under the Lights in between that. So, what's up, Craig? Craig is probably listening. I'm always nervous when Craig's
Why?
Listening. Because I don't want to misspeak. No, Craig beat me. I mean, he keeps me accountable. So I'm glad that I work underneath.
No, him the one thing
keeps me sharp.
One out of a million things I could appreciate about the Hall of Famer Craig Way, when he'll hit me, Bucky, and Aaron up when like we'll be questioning something. B and E will be questioning something that maybe somebody on the Specs text line hasn't got to yet. And Craig is like a huge encyclopedia for everything, like music, sports, anything in between. So he knows what went down, when it went down, where it went down, how it went down. And he'll text us like, nah, y'all are wrong about this. Let me put y'all on game. This is what happened. This is where I was. This is the ties I have to it, because you know Craig Way's ties are thick. You know, with how much he's seen and how much he's done. So, yeah, that's one big thing I can appreciate about C-Way for sure.
Our basketball team came out of Holla If You Hear Me. Oh, yeah. Holla If You Hear Me.
Who?
Tupac. No, I was looking at the Specs text line. Somebody's, I guess, mentioning Tupac.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a conversation about that.
Somebody said they jam Dre, Snoop Dogg, Tupac, and Biggie every day. You showing your age,
yeah,
man, homie. Whoever you are, you showing.
I mean,
your age.
And honestly, like I respect all those, but I heard it enough that I don't have to listen to it anymore.
No.
As much as I love it and did love it, I had my turn with them.
Now, somebody on the Specs text line said Tribe, y'all.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that's a Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
I don't think enough young people know about a Tribe Called Quest and how much they meant to hip hop. Q-Tip, 5 Dawg, Ari Muhammad, you know what I'm saying?
I got all three. Good.
Yeah, there's four, but that other dude wasn't around much. I think he had, you know, some troubles off the mic. But yeah, with what Tribe did, 5 Dawg was the first rapper to really throw a lot of sports analogies and references in his hip hop, which that's what a lot of us can relate to. So that's a huge reason why I'm a Tribe fan, and Q-Tip is just a musical genius. He's a lot like Kanye in the sense, you know, he might not have the, you know, controversial bars like Kanye did, but as far as talent from producing and making beats and then also getting on the mic.
His voice is so unique.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear Vibrant Thing, it can't be nobody but Q-Tip on that joint. We might have to use that for a comeback. We might have to use that for a comeback right there.
See, Wale and J. Cole stole that. Stole it. Yeah.
They sampled it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure that.
That's okay.
I'm sure Q-Tip got his paper for that.
I feel that the art of the remix is lost in today's music, but back in the day, the remix was always hotter than the original track. 90% of the time.
Yeah. And maybe we're just in the era to where songs aren't meaningful anymore, but the mainstream, you know, like you said, that song we just played, that's the biggest song out right now.
Yeah. Jumping by NLE Choppa and
I had
Hello
no
G.
idea. I'm showing my age, dadgum. I had no idea. You could, if you asked me who NLE Choppa was, I couldn't tell you at all. Moneybag Whoa is the
Moneybag Yo.
Yeah, yo. See, mm-hmm. I don't even say the name right. Yo. Mm-hmm. Yo, we got to get to break, man. We're up against it. We're going to come back. No blitz today, but y'all can still call in the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We'll be nice. 512-447-3776 or hit the Specs text line 512-337-3776. Snoop and Zay, the Horn Morning Remix. Right about this time, Grandma should be sending y'all to go get something at HEB because she forgot it. It's around, it's almost 9 o'clock. Grandma's been grinding since around 6 a.m. since we've been up. She's been listening to us, making those pies and whatnot. Auntie getting you rides. So, yeah, Thanksgiving going to be good this year. Snoop and Zay will be back.
Snoop, say on the Horn Morning Remix.
We back. Snoop and Zay, the Horn Morning Remix, filling in for Bucky and Aaron. It's just a vibrant thing. Shout out to Q-Tip, Tribe Called Quest. We've been on our music tip this morning.
This was on the Violator soundtrack. It was like a compilation. Compilations were huge back in the day. Mixtapes, basically. Yeah. I love soundtracks because you had a mix, you know, R&B, hip-hop. It had a little of everything, just not just one artist. So
that's how people like DJ Clue and Funk Flex got
Funk
really
Master
popular.
Flex.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, by doing those mixtapes, classic mixtapes, not the, oh, I'm just going to put my own, basically, album via World Wide Web and see what happens.
No Ceilings. Wayne was a really good mixtape. That's one of the few examples of the newer mixtapes that I still like.
That ain't new. It's like years old.
No. It is old, though. I guess, like,
but people don't make mixtapes no more since the streaming era, you know. And one thing that I used to appreciate about Wayne, he used to hop on other people's tracks and just kill it. It was so disrespectful. Like, you're going to hop on Swag Surf and just murder Swag Surf.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know who made that song. It's a hit. These college students need to stop doing it in the stands because a lot of these
high school kids do it too.
Yeah, high school kids, a lot of these fraternities and sororities don't have the rhythm to Swag Surf. That wave, that tide is very flat.
The tide is flat. Oh God, just mixed up. I don't know who's singing that song. Big shout out to the person who said Big L, because that's old school. R.I.P. to him.
Old school.
And Souls of Mischief is like from 99 till, that's old school too. That's
Souls
really
of Mischief. What song is that?
That's the group is Souls of Mischief. Souls of Mischief.
But what was their
What was it? Souls of Mischief. 99 till Infinity.
Oh. That was a horrible example. My bad.
It was, but it's good. Somebody else put they rock with Wu-Tang every morning. My favorite Wu-Tang album was Only Built for Cuban Links.
Raekwon.
I like, and at first
Ghostface
like,
was like a feature.
Oh, he was.
He was in the background throwing up
Tony Stark
signs. Yeah,
yeah, and that Wu-Tang when it first came out was a little over my head because I was kind of like a dumb kid and it was just too intelligent for me.
Well, it had that East Coast Staten Island swagger that we can't relate to down here in Texas. You know, you have to really dig deep into that lifestyle of going to bodegas, eating chopped cheeses, you know, with the karate to that. Like, if you don't know your martial arts either, then it might be over your head again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Wu-Tang, you know. And speaking of Wu-Tang, I was watching Power Part 2, Ghost, you know, Power 50 Cent, Stars. 50 Cent, by the way, is like a black Martin Scorsese. I'm saying it. He is 50 Cent's an absolute genius. Like, Power, BMF, anything on Stars that has to do with drama, 50 Cent's been a part of it. But he has a spinoff to the original Power, and Method Man is playing a lawyer. Method Man can act.
No, he can. He's always been able to act. Chris Diggs.
Yo, because you can't, how high? Like, come on. Yeah. Like, me and you could play Method Man
and Redman.
Red Man.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll be Reggie
no
Noble.
Which one was that?
Reggie Noble is Redman.
Oh, that was Red?
Yeah.
Okay.
Metzical. That's I used to know Johnny Blaze. I used to know all the aliases. Real talk, like
from how high the movie.
Well, just from Wu, because everybody from Wu Tang had like 10 different names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like Bobby Digital was the RZA too.
Right, whatever else.
But yeah, that was good stuff. Oh, what else? And I swear, oh, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Somebody put Troy. They Reminisce Over You was a dope track. That was one of the earlier days. I was in a Mobb Deep.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Infamous, that first album. I actually bought that. I bought a promo CD that, like a hole in the wall CD, because there used to be CD spots everywhere. So used CDs or whatever.
R.I.P. Prodigy.
Yeah. Oh, RIP Prodigy. Totally. But yeah, I bought that for like $11 and wound up changing my life. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, Prodigy and Havoc of Mobb Deep, they were as mainstream as an underground group could be, I felt like. I felt like they were on both sides. Like, they stuck to their roots. They didn't really care about the publicity, but you heard, you know, infamous Mobb Deep is one of the most classic hip-hop albums
of all time.
You know?
They had five. If it didn't get five mics, it had 4.5.
On the Source?
On the Source.
On the Source, yo.
So it's like Illmatic had five mics. And
That's what you strive for.
Five mics.
Five mics. Yeah. If you're a 90s MC, not rapper, like that's how you got to call it, MC in the 90s, you were trying to get five mics on the Source. Illmatic got it. Maybe a low-end theory, the low-end theory of Tribe Called Quest, maybe that got it.
Stakes is High, De La Soul, I'm pretty sure got it. In some albums, they actually went back and gave them five mics. For example, The Score by the Fugees got 4.5 initially, and then they went back and gave it five. So it was The Source and Vibe magazine.
Oh, man.
When them joints came out, and I remember a Snoop Dogg, it was a black and white cover, was on the first issue of Vibe, and it was, I mean, every day I go to 7-Eleven every day, every month, go to 7-Eleven, I pick up my Source, pick up my Vibe, and I would just get the lowdown, and being from Dallas, I listened to K104, so like a heritage, like hip-hop station, which they really don't have here, like an urban station.
Real hip-hop, you know, make your chest puff out type of hip-hop, but... Yo, that's it for the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be back one more hour. This is Snoop. It's Zay, the Horn Morning Remix. We've been getting it cracking since 6 a.m., filling in for B&E. Thankful for everybody.
Yeah, it's been fun today.
Oh, yeah, it's been real fun. Thankful for everybody on this Thanksgiving Eve. Hopefully that giblet gravy is getting prepped, or that's more of a Thanksgiving Day type thing, but hopefully you haven't made too many trips to the store already, but those are coming. Those are coming. Zach Lucero, he's coming up 9 o'clock hour to rock it with us. Keep tuning in. This is The Horn.